listening to the testimonies of these young people, and I feel like I stepped back in time. My wife and I, our anniversary is on April 28th, by the way, but we met at camp. We are the camp romance there, church camp, and we were working there. As a matter of fact, I started working at a camp when I was 16. Worked at a summer camp for 18 summers, and that's how I collected a lot of ideas to use for kids. But she came the next summer, and we just started talking. As a matter of fact, I remember she'd play the piano, and another one of the workers, we were all teenagers, we just would take and just sing through the hymn book some late night. They had to put a curfew on us. It was all good, but we just were up late, just singing through the hymn book, and that's how we bonded, I guess. But I was thinking, listening to those testimonies, it is a privilege to be able to work at a church camp, and you get in on the blessings. See, here's what happens at camp. A lot of people are praying for a focal point of a situation at the same time. Churches, I mean, you got to understand, some of these parents have sent their kids away for the first time. You know, we grow up in our churches in a different culture. Kids are not spending a night over here and they're staying out. So it's like these parents are sending, this is the first time, and then that's like the only time. I learned how to swim at camp because we didn't go mixed swimming. We didn't go swimming in public. Are you listening to me here? This is a place where kids can have a good time in a right kind of environment. And sometimes you may think, man, a camp is expensive. Well, it is. But it's changing lives eternally. It's a focal point where everybody, and even on Wednesday night, I've always done this anytime I've ever been at a camp, and for 30 years I've been working or preaching or something at a camp. And not as many now since I've been pastor, just a couple each summer. But on Wednesday night, to me, it always a turning point at camp. And I'll tell you my theory. On Wednesday nights, those churches are praying for their kids at camp. They want a spiritual impact that sometimes takes a year or two or even a lifetime at just regular church service. But at camp, everybody's praying. And everybody wants something. I'd say most. There's a few. There's always two or three, of course, you deal with. But thank God for the decisions made. And you guys are the trophy of that. Trophies that are handed out at the end of the week, that's just hardware. My coach used to call it hardware. But it doesn't last. But what happens in the heart lasts forever. And this church, I know it can get discouraging, but you have a privilege of being able to have a place. And in our culture, it's becoming a little more competition. You got to have a mile-high climbing wall these days, and rappelling, and electronic surfing, and they're not going to have it. You know, you surf gnats at Adventure Faith. That's all. It's the way it is. But if you have God there, people will keep coming. Are you hearing me? People will keep coming. So stay faithful and be willing to make that sacrifice. I'm thankful for what God did to me through camp. And so stay with it. I just wanted to encourage you with that. Thank you, young people, for giving up jobs. You could be making money. You don't get rich working at Venture of Faith. Yeah. But you have eternal riches in glory. John chapter 14. I tell you what, if you're able to, let's just stand. We've been sitting for a little bit. Let's all stand just for a moment as we read our text scripture. Been preaching through the book of John, and yeah, I really enjoyed it. A lot different than on the road where I'm, you know, doing kids' themes and visuals. And so now I'm trying to preach through expository, verse by verse. But sometimes it ends up becoming a topic because it's just such a big verse that sometimes hits. You just got to deal with that one verse. But I'm enjoying just slowly going through and studying the Word of God and cooking a meal and just getting some from the Bible. That's what we need. But John chapter 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace is a wonderful word, isn't it? And we're going to look at that tonight. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you most of all for your Son dying on the cross for our sins. And we're thankful that we can have that peace that passes all understanding. But Lord, it seems like we're just at war all the time. Lord, help us to get some scripture, some of your word to help us, to encourage us that we still have that peace, but to strengthen us for the battle that is always there in this life. And Lord, we'll give you glory for what's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. The theme of John is the deity of Christ. Jesus is God. And don't forget that when Jesus came, he brought grace and truth. Peace. We get saved, we get peace. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. It's great to have peace. There is so many people searching for peace. It's like depression has skyrocketed on the charts. Lack of peace. And since I think we can pull this off, since Jesus is the Prince of Peace, then to me the lack of peace is the lack of Jesus. Just keeping it simple. Peace. Peace comes up regularly in our Baptist lingo. So you ask somebody a question, well, I just don't have peace about that. Isn't that a favorite? Oh yeah, it's a favorite. Well, God just didn't give me peace about that, or God gave us peace about this major decision. Well, I think we maybe flippantly use that, kind of lightly use that phrase. If you're going to put God in on something, we better make sure that we've got a lot of prayer behind that, a lot of faith behind that. These phrases sometimes justify decisions we've already made. Because we want it to sound spiritual. Don't look at me like this. We do this. Right? We have peace about it. But it is available. Peace is available. And so we need to be careful with this. Now, I want to show you some things here. Because there's a problem. We have peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. It's free. Let's look at a scripture in 2 Timothy. As I was studying and looking at this, I was thinking to myself, you know, I've got peace. I know I'm saved. But how come I'm not always at peace? You know what I mean? I know I'm saved, but I just don't always feel peaceful. What's going on here? Okay, Lord, you gave me peace. I see that. But I'm not always peaceful. And so, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth. So what's the opposite of peace? War, right? No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him, have chosen him to be a soldier. Okay, wait a minute. Lord, you gave me peace in my heart, but we're still at war. So it's going to bring up some questions. When the world, you see, he said the world gives peace, but it's not like the world. His peace is different than the world gives. When the world gives peace, at best, it's temporary. You remember the peace treaties? I'm talking about real war, you know, a world war. And, well, they got broke a few times. Temporary. So when the world says peace, the peace, the best it can do is temporary. Peace, and listen now, peace is something the unsaved sinner will never have. Cannot have, listen, the unsaved sinner cannot have peace without Jesus Christ. Impossible. Without Jesus, you have no peace. There will always be war. There will never be any rest for your soul without Jesus Christ. I can boldly say this from the Word of God, that if you don't have Jesus, the Prince of Peace, you don't have peace. You can't have it. You can't say, well, it's just so peaceful in my life. Not if you're lost, it's not. So we're going to have some questions here to deal with. I'm just going to say all three questions and then we'll break them down. Why can the world never obtain peace on its own? I basically said that answer in a nutshell, but we'll talk about it. Next question, what is this peace that the Lord gives? I'll mention it a little bit. And then why are we still at war when we have His peace? So number one, why can the world never obtain peace on its own? Let me just mention a couple of verses from Jeremiah chapter 8, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Jeremiah 8:15, we look for peace, but no good came. For a time of health, but behold, trouble. Why? Sinners will never have peace. Not unless they get saved. They can't have permanent peace on their own efforts. They can strive for peace in the afterlife, as I read our missionary's letter this morning. That will not happen without Jesus Christ. And here's why. The flesh is always at war. Are you with me? The flesh is always at war. Self must win. Self can never win. The sinner can never win. The sinner will always be at war and can never win that war. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, not of the Father, but is of the world. This inner peace, I would ask for your prayers. I'm going here this week. I looked online. I'm finding pictures of children with their legs crossed and their fingers held a certain way, striving for inner peace, going to some focal point in the middle of their body, absent of Jesus Christ. You cannot have inner peace without the Prince of Peace. We're going there this week. I would ask for your prayer. Satan does not like it when we tread in this territory. The kids need to be warned. All they got to do is surf a little bit, and here's little children. Not just all over the world. It didn't start with us. It started in some of these Eastern religions. Little children focusing, trying to get inner peace, inner peace, inner peace. Not going to have it without Jesus. Need your prayers this week, please. May I just remind those that are lost, there is no inner peace in hell. No. Hell is all torture. It's regret. We see that from the rich man in Luke 16. All that end up in the lake of fire are losers of the war. Perhaps talking about this subject reminds some of you that a little bit older than me, the peace lovers and the deal in the 60s, all that was a lack of understanding. Sure, nobody likes to hear about their brother or their dad passing away in a war. But what was happening there was peace was defined as giving in to the flesh, anything goes. Everyone needs to get along with it, oppose wars of any kind. There's a lot of faultiness to that, a lot of faultiness to that definition of peace. But I've heard testimonies of those that were truly converted, that was a part of that movement that repented, and I'm not talking about Jesus freaks and some of those old terminologies, But I'm sad to say that many from the 60s did not truly come to know Jesus and are now in positions of government and positions of education. And now they are in power, trying to bring peace, as they used to do, peace to the world. Does anyone feel any more peaceful? Anyone? Do we feel more peaceful in America now? I'm feeling a little more warful in America. Is that a word? I invent words. Have you looked online and see that they've tried to create this scenario of how to have peace in the Middle East? It's an interesting thing to look at. And there's this chart. Okay, Brother Mark, so to have peace in the Middle East, it will take this and this area, and there's a paragraph. It will take this here, and I'm just laughing at this huge chart with paragraphs. If all this happens, we'll have peace in the Middle East. Again, I say what the Bible says, peace, peace, and there is no peace. They will not have peace without Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. I don't care if you have all those scenarios right, all the way around the chart, everything around Israel, you're not going to have peace. And even when they do get it, we won't be here, and it'll still be temporary. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. All I can say is, if you're at war in your heart, and it seems like you can never get peace, you may consider your standing with Christ. If He's truly your Savior, you'll have peace. If He's not your Savior, you maybe talked yourself into your present condition because of pride or peer pressure. He does give peace that you'll never find from this world. And those of you that know you're saved, and I'm talking to, you know, the Sunday night crowd here, isn't it good to have that peace? Peace with God. Our sins separated us. Did we do anything about that sin? No. Jesus paid the price, and all we did was say, I trust You as my Savior. I'm sorry my sin is separated. God, I repent of that, and I trust You as my Savior, and I leave it in His hands. And when you just leave it there, there's a peace. It doesn't matter what's going on. Yeah, there's trials, and we're going there in a minute. But you have a peace that passes all understanding that will not change. You can always go back to it. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. And again, in this verse, like he started this chapter, let not your heart be troubled. I give you peace. So we have a peace the world doesn't have. What is this peace that the Lord gives? I'm going to read you what I've been saying, Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which passes all understanding. Passes all understanding. Read some of the martyr stories. How can they be tied to a stake and the flames are right there? Recant that you know Jesus. Just deny that you know Him. But the stories go, the peace that they have. And when the flames are lit, they keep a smile on their face as their body burns. You can read those stories. And the world looks at that. How do they have that kind of peace? We have that kind of peace, knowing we're saved. The Lord will give strength unto His people and will bless His people with peace. Psalm 37, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. When you get saved, when conviction happens, and you're drawn by the Holy Spirit, and repentance take place, and belief in Jesus Christ take place, guess what? The war's over. Eternal peace that passes understanding takes over. It comes, and it's eternal. It doesn't change. He gives that peace. It's like Luke 2:16. Glory to God, the angels, right? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Was there any wars after that? Yeah. When you know Jesus, you have peace. One of the most peaceful things I can think of in the Bible is Mary holding baby Jesus. Jesus in the arms of Mary is such a clear picture of Jesus bringing eternal peace to mankind. This peace is, if I can put it this way, is so available for sinners everywhere. Paul's letters, we could spend time with this. Every time he introduced a letter almost, grace be to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. He'd end the letters this way, Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Now the peace Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. I didn't even cover half the times the word peace is mentioned in the Bible tonight. So now's the question. Why are we still at war, seemingly, when we have his peace? Why are there verses like, pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Why do we need to pray for that if he brought peace? Think not that I am, this is Jesus' own words, Matthew 10:34, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. We hear a verse like that and say, wait a minute, didn't Jesus say I give you peace? And now I'm sending a sword? I brought a sword with me. I do better with visuals sometimes. You ever had any of those karate guy speakers at camp, break bricks and stuff? You never have? I don't know if there's any left. They probably all broke their hands. I remember one of them would set up the bricks and everything, and they have it all, and they're going to preach in a little bit, but this was their gig. You know, you got your volleyball gig. This is their thing. So they would always go, just do that stuff. And they would ask the kids, why do you always yell when you hit those bricks? They say, because it hurts. That's what they would say. But some of them would have a sword. They cut watermelons off of stomachs. You've seen this stuff. And so I got to practicing so I could do that move. It just, you know, they got all this attention. So I just thought, man, I can do that move. We need a watermelon and somebody real brave. Jesus said, I came to send a sword. And that's also another chain of a study you could do. Of course, we know that the Bible is the sword, part of the armor of God. But this, the text that he's talking about is there's going to be, because of our stand, okay, we have peace in our heart. That's not going to change. But because of our stand, there may be a sword. There may be a division that you have to work with. You may have some persecution. You have peace in your heart, but you're in a war. Endure hardness as a good soldier. War, a good warfare. And so, these verses. Why do we see verses that say in Mark 9, Jesus said, have salt in yourself and have peace one with another? Because he knows we might have war one with another. Okay, church? I've traveled a long time, but now I've been pastor 4 years. I found out that we need verses like, have peace one with another. Everybody okay? We need that. Jesus knew we can say, I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, but I might not be at peace with this guy. We okay, church? We're still at war. Why? Because we still have the flesh. We still have self. Self was fighting, and then self repented, got saved, peace with God. You're saved. But now, we may not have peace with everybody else. Especially those that are against Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that's where we get that phrase, God to give me peace about it. God to give me peace. We ought to just set the crown on the peace of God, and just when a decision, a temptation comes up, and we're at war with ourselves even, just crown the peace of God and say, okay, Lord, what do I do? Don't go make it on ourselves. Jesus said this, blessed are the what? Peacemakers. Too many war makers in the church. Everybody all right? Why all this reference to strive for peace? He knows how we are. We're still a fight. Yes, we fight. And who's the enemy? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not to be fighting one another. Did Paul say, I fought a good fight? Did he say that? I'm glad he didn't fight with Timothy. He did have an argument with Barnabas, though. You never hear from Barnabas again. Why war you among yourselves? It's all there. You see, there's still a warfare. There's a spiritual warfare going on. As long as there's a Satan, as long as there's sinfulness, there will always be a spiritual warfare going on. He said, I came. Didn't he say, as the Lord, as the Father send me, so send I you. He said, I came to send a sword. As we go, we're carrying the sword of the Word, but somebody might not like us and might say some words that we wouldn't like. There's two things that happen. There's the world, but we're not fighting people. So there's a warfare. I'm not at peace with my flesh. Whoa. Isn't that a fight? The flesh and it when what it wants. There's a warfare going on. And I'm not at peace with Satan. Right? He's the enemy. He's like a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. And I'm not at peace with the control of sin on the lost. I don't like that. I know how it was a chain, like chaining you. But I'm thankful that through the grace of God, those chains can be broken. He's sending a sword. 1 Timothy 6:12, he says to Timothy there, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight. Well, man, I thought when I got saved, I was at peace and, you know, the war's over. No, it's not. It's not over. I like a good scrap. I mean, I don't like to be in a good scrap, but I don't mind watching one, you know? I mean, a good guy versus bad guy kind of scrap. I don't mind, right? The old Westerns, the good guys always win. But we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. Sometimes church members don't remember that verse. He didn't talk to me. I'm just making sure. I got to clarify that. As far as I know, you're all at peace among yourselves. As far as I know, this is a wonderful church. That's right. He's safe. Safe answer. That's right. I know it is. I know it is. I'm not saying that. But I know that we, even though we're not of the world, we're still in the world. And sometimes that sign of the last days where men should be lovers of their own selves, we like what we are spoiled Americans. I mean, we are. And sometimes somebody may just not quite say something a certain way. Or sometimes there just gets to be just real strong cliques in the church. Now we all get along with certain people. We're close to different ones, closer than others. And that's okay. But sometimes we just need to get outside that little bubble and say, you know what? We're supposed to be members one of another. That's everybody. We are going to fail. If it continues like this, it's rampantly heading toward mass adultery and it's just getting crazy. We better stay tight. We better love one another. Did Jesus say, I command you to love one another? We better stay tight because we're going to need each other. We need each other now, but there's a fight going on. Let me do this little question here. Paul said, I die daily. Sometimes we fight ourselves. Why fight ourselves? The old man's dead already. He's dead. Let's look at the armory, the ammo base, if you will. We have the power of God. Be strong in the Lord and power of His might. Praying always, Ephesians chapter 6. The power of God, and then there's the armor of God, including the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, fiery darts of the wicked. I've used this illustration before, but not for kids, but it's like this. Here's the armor of God, right? You got the shield of faith. That's something you hold in your hand. Helmet is not a thing you hold. It sits there. You wear it. You wear the plate, the breastplate of righteousness. But you hold a sword. And you hold a shield and fight the enemy. Who's that? Satan is the enemy, not one another. If we're fighting the enemy, we're side by side with faith. We're trusting God with things we can't see, the power of God. And we're showing the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the two-edged sword. And we're in the battle together fighting. But what happens is when we put our faith down, we put the Word down, our hands are empty, and we begin to duke it out with one another. We begin to do this. Because we're not focused on the enemy, then we begin to focus on each other and we get selfish. You're not treating me right and all that junk. Have peace one with another. Look, all the things we need to maintain peace in times of war. I'm at peace knowing I have all the stuff available. I just got to put it on. What, right? Put on the new man. You got to put it on. Have peace one with another. Blessed are the peacemakers. Well, he started it. Will you stop it? You know, let the peace of God rule. Let's evaluate ourselves, church. We know we got a peace. We know we're saved. World can't take that away. But sometimes, are we causing potential issues by our patterns of involvement, or maybe the lack thereof? Are we causing potential issues? The way we're involved in the Lord's work, or the lack of it. Are we setting up possible little skirmishes? Little yeah things you got to put up with? One night this week I'm going to preach about Joseph and his brothers. And I was going to do it tonight, but I'm just going to say it in one little statement here. Jacob showed favoritism to the brothers. And it caused a hatred. That's actually used. The word hatred is there. And their hatred was so bad that they could not, and the word is here, they could not speak peaceably with Joseph. It wasn't Joseph's fault. Well, he was bringing the evil report. Yeah, but Jacob wanted him to do that. It wasn't Jacob's fault. The dad was causing the problem. It's hard to preach and help kids if the parents are not doing right. Stay with me. Has it gotten to where there's somebody in the church that you can't speak peaceably with? You better get that right. Because God wants us to love one another. Jesus commanded that. Where's our involvement? Are we causing problems in the church by our cliques of favoritism? Are we causing something? Are we letting a potential thing happen? We got a battle to fight here, folks. We got to keep the sword sharp. Huh? We got to keep it ready. We got to know God's word. Especially now, we better know what we believe. We may be put up on the witness stand, so to speak, and say, why do you believe that? Or what do you believe about such? It may happen. It's getting closer. I have this question. Why do faithful church members sometimes get so embarrassingly close to bad? Why? Why is our life, if we're saved, we can be peacemakers, but sometimes we cause war in church by our lack of godly example as a believer? Please. Please don't be a high-maintenance church member. Amen. Come on. Let the man study and pray. Huh? Let the man do the music. You don't have time for all that counseling when you could take care of it by knowing the Word of God and by just doing what Jesus said. Why you got to get so close to bad? Just so close. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. You're just so close to it, though. Why not get way over there and do what Jesus said? Well, it might bother somebody. Yeah, it might cause a sword. When my kids, we're traveling down the road, right? And sometimes it would just get to a level. I don't know how they knew. They weren't looking at the clock, but it was 20 to 15 minutes before we got somewhere. It would just be a uprising. I'm like, I don't know how they do this. It could be a 10-hour trip or a 2-hour trip, but it's the same thing. So Somehow they know. Those last 15, 20. And so sometimes I would look in the rearview mirror and say, listen, everybody, just be bad. Just be bad. Yeah! Ah! Just give up. I have felt this way some. Just be bad. Just go. Just be bad. Go. Just go. Paul said to Timothy, be thou an example of the believers. How are we going to stay in training? This is, you know what church time is? It's training for the war. We're getting our sword sharp. We're keeping it ready. Hey, I've said this to kids many times. Satan hates you. Monday nights, we're some men in our church, me sometimes, we have a rotating. We go to the jail ministry and see people in there hurting. You know, well, they deserve it. They might. But think about all things maybe we did in our past that we didn't get caught doing. Huh? And I'm thinking, the devil wants all these kids I see in there, drugged out, drunken, so tattooed now they look like snakes. It's the marks of the world. This is where Satan wants. He's the enemy. Can you see he's at work? He's in business. Oh, he's in the destroying lives business. He's a father of lies. He hates kids. He hates adults. He hates teenagers. He hates everybody. And he knows where he's going. So he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we don't have time to be yin, yin, yin over here when there's a battle to be fought. Peace I give to you. Jesus gives peace. An eternal peace. There's a peace in your heart that passes all understanding. Aren't you glad for that? If you don't have that, you need to get saved. I can just tell you right now, if there's a war going on, you're not saved. Or something, or there's really some sin in your life distracting you and doubt and devil's fighting or something. But most likely, you get that settled. The lost will never obtain peace without salvation. Impossible to have real peace without the Prince of Peace. Impossible. I think I can boldly say that. All these psychologists studying, they have all these ways to have peace in your life. Fold your legs, hold your fingers. You're not going to get it. I don't care how much you focus and put out the cares and the things of this world out of your mind. If you're focusing on, hey, does the Bible say to meditate? Should we be in meditation? Yes. Meditate on the Word of God day and night. That's where we meditate. Can we have inner peace? Yeah, we can have inner peace. With Jesus. Pray for us. That's where we're going this week. But Jesus said, I came not to send peace, but a sword. He said, I give you peace in your heart. Nobody's going to change that. But you may have to take a stand, which may cause some division. Somebody might oppose you. Okay. Look, there's always going to be a fight. And hopefully, we're fighting for right. So how do we deal with the power of Satan and sin? Just going to wrap it up. Same way Jesus did. What did he do in a man of temptation? Set the example for us. He wasn't going to give in to that stuff. He's Jesus. He's God. But he went through that for our example. He didn't smack the devil in the face and you leave him alone. He just simply gave the Word of God. Somehow we think that stamina will go against the devil and we can handle that devil. No, you can't. You don't have that kind of power. We're flesh. There's the power. Why do we work so hard to try to when all we have to do is just use that Word of God? That's all Jesus did. He just gave Satan the Word of God. So are you fighting a good fight? Are you fighting? And then how are you fighting? Put on the armor of God. It's still that simple. Here's your weapon. Shield of faith. I don't like those fiery darts. You better get some faith going. Trust God. Take care of the fiery darts of the wicked. They will come. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, we're just not getting persecuted much these days. Don't say you're maybe not living godly. That's what maybe we just did. Peace. Peace. Let's pray.